fear, and it's through living courageously and boldly and confidently in Christ.
Living Courageously, coming soon from Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Thanks again for listening today, and to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
When we recall Abraham's experience with God, when God came to Abraham and said, "You will become the father of many nations," it was at a point in time where Abram had no children. He was old, and his wife was old, and they had no children. And time was running out on Abraham, or Abram and Sarah. But what God did, when he came to them initially, even before they had the children, he changed their name. He said, "No longer will you be Abram, exalted father, but Abraham, father of multitudes." And Sarai will be changed to Sarah, which means princess. So from that day forward, even though time was ticking on them, God had initiated something. See, God, there's a nature to the kingdom. As we studied our last time, when God spoke in Gethsemane, he said, "I am he." He said that to his enemy. He wasn't unfamiliar with them. They didn't sneak up on him. He went to meet them. But when he spoke, a nature came forth from him that pushed the soldiers backwards. In other words, the Lord letting them know and his disciples know, unless I allow them to do this, they cannot do this. When he spoke that word, the soldiers went backwards. A hedge of protection came around his disciples, and conviction came to Judas' conscience. See, when God speaks, something's always going on. See, when God speaks to you good about you, he's speaking evil to your enemy. See, life and death is in the power of the tongue. When you're speaking life, you're speaking death to the enemy. You don't even have to waste time talking to him. Just keep speaking life. Because when the word goes out, there's a nature that goes out with it. You don't even have to be talking about stuff or trying to figure out stuff or trying to solve stuff. Just speak the word. Just walk in the word. And you'll disturb a whole lot of stuff that's hidden in darkness, that's hiding, that was plotting for you, that was trying to take you out. You don't even know about it. You're just walking in the word, praising God, giving God glory, and the nature's going out. It'll knock your enemy backwards, and the one that tried to kill you, it'll convict their conscience. They'll go crazy. And then it'll protect those that are connected to you. I ain't got to be there with my children. I'm speaking life over them. Everywhere they go, everything they do, all of them, all the families in this church, anybody connected to me in any manner, shape, or form, I'm speaking life over you. I'm speaking blessing, increase, destiny. Noah, enter the ark, you and your house, for I have found you righteous. You need to know your words that God has placed in your spirit carry weight in the spirit in the realm of spirits, it carries weight, influence. It's powerful. So we see the first encounter, the Lord calls him Cephas, a stone. Now, as we look into Peter's experience, we see a gradual nature change. You see, God works in with the seed, in the seed dimension. His word is like a seed. A sower goes out to sow seed. And depending upon what type of soil it falls upon, can determine how long something takes. See, God's word is not going to return void, but maybe, just maybe, when the word was sown, it was sown among thorns. How many know God is the gardener too? Come on, help me out here, Holy Ghost. How many know God is a farmer? God is a gardener. God will be an attorney in the courtroom. He'll be a lawyer. He's a redeemer. He's a savior. He'll be a shepherd. He'll be a king. He'll be a warrior. He'll be whatever you need him to be when you need him to be that. Sometimes it might be sown on stony ground. So God have to do a work there. Sometimes when a person gets saved, there's great upheaval in their life. Great upheaval. Like, everything was all right till I got saved. No, you thought everything was all right till you got saved. God said, no, there's some stuff down here I got to break up or it'll take you out. Let me give you just a little nugget of wisdom. You know, when Paul went to Philippi, when the woman with divination followed them 3 days, these are men of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. Sounds truthful, doesn't it? I mean, they were men of the Most High God that were there to show them on ways of salvation. But see, anytime the enemy is using something like that, it's a blocking spirit. That woman, you have to understand, that woman, that spirit through that woman was controlling the economy. That was their source of gain. And it wasn't no little pennies, nickels, and dimes. Come on, that was their source of gain. And when Paul cast that demon out, look here. You see, the nature of the kingdom is not always what you think. When Paul cast the demon out, God sent him right to prison. Y'all think it was the folk. No, God got him out of there. Because had the Lord left them to that crowd, they'd have been stoned to death. They'd have been pulled apart. They'd have been destroyed. They'd have been killed right there. So God let them get arrested. In his wisdom, he let them get arrested and sent them right into a prison where it wasn't comfortable, but they were safe. It wasn't going to end for them right there. And then, you know, the story, they prayed and the prison was shaken and they got released and they found out they were Romans and had them, you know, tried to release them privately. But God sent, see, so the nature of the kingdom may not always be what you think. But if you'll stay the course, you will see great and mighty things that God will do. You may not understand it all. He called him Cephas. There was a gradual nature change. And then Abram to Abraham. You see, the more God called him Peter, I mean, every time God talks, God does not talk for naught. That's why we need to reverence the word. Every time we hear the word, not as a word from a man, but the word of God. Look beyond the mailman or the vessel and hear it as the word of the Lord. Because every time God speaks, every time he speaks, it's not for naught. But how often do we let it fall to the ground? When God speaks, there's purpose behind it. Every time he called him Abraham, he was imparting another measure of his nature to be a father of nations. Every time he called him Peter, as messed up as we see Peter was, every time he called him, he was building nature. That Peter's ultimate outcome would be that of victory. Notice with Judas, when he came, he said, "Whom do you seek?" And then he betrayed him with a kiss. He said, "I am he." Now imagine his conscience after that. That word went out to him. And here he is, the one that betrayed God in the flesh. Look with me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to stay with Peter for a while. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Tradition has it that many of the learned Jews back then had a belief that a spirit of an old prophet like Elijah could come and possess someone in their time. And that's why they said, some say you're Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say a prophet. But he said, "Who do you say?" Now, verse 16, and Simon Peter. Now, it's not Simon Barjona, it's Simon Peter now. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we know this portion of Scripture. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Okay, he goes back to, see, Simon means reed. It was like Peter was like a reed, but at the same time, he was like a stone. I think we can identify with this. It was upon this revelation, this rock of revelation, this aspect of Peter that had been spoken to him at the beginning. And let me bring it this far or to this point, because when you got born again, even though you may not understand or know all of the promises, there was something spoken. You received not just a portion. You received a package deal. You received a work when you got saved that is finished. Help us, Holy Ghost. I hear some sad hand claps and some confused amens. But you received a work that is finished. Now, like Peter, there's work, there's some things that have to be walked out. Listen, when you get saved or when God saves you, there is no little Holy Ghost. You know, even a little child doesn't have no little, there's no baby Holy Ghost. Oh, he's so cute. No, that's the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same anointing. Come on, tell somebody it's the same anointing. So see, every one of us in here that are born again have the same anointing. Come on, do you understand that the same Holy Spirit, that's what makes us the body of Christ. The same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal body. Not another anointing. Not a lesser anointing. Or if we could get past our head. Sometimes we're top heavy with our experience. Well, see, you just don't know what I come out of. See, you just don't know how the devil tried to take me out. See, you just don't know what I've suffered. Well, see, you ought to have the greatest testimony.
We are continuing in part 23 of The Faith Crisis, The Nature of the Kingdom. When the word of God goes out, there is a nature that goes out. When we praise God and give him glory, your words knock your enemy backwards. John 18 and 6 testifies to the nature of Jesus. As soon then as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. The nature of the kingdom carries power and authority. The Lord changed Simon's name to Cephas, meaning rock or stone, during their first encounter. We witness a gradual nature change. God sow a seed, and God's word will not return void. God is like a gardener. Sometimes seeds are sown on stony ground. The nature of the kingdom helps to nurture the seed to full maturity.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.